Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes, or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a speaking God. Thank you that you do not leave us in the dark to grope our way to you, but you've revealed yourself to us in your word and in Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much. Please now speak to us, we pray, that we may lead lives which glorify Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's a famous play which some of us studied in school called Waiting for Godot. It's considered one of the most influential plays of the 20th century. It features four mysterious men, and they're waiting for an even more mysterious man who never comes. His name is Godot. We know little about him. The four men just wait and wait and wait and wait. And as the play unfolds, it becomes increasingly clear Godot will never come. Well, Christians have been waiting for Jesus to return for 2,000 years. Is he just like Godot? Will he come at all? We saw a few weeks ago that the reason God has delayed the return of Christ is so that many more people will turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. God is eternal. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. It's nothing for God to wait 1,000 years. God is being kind to us, because when Jesus does return, it will be too late. And we've seen this in this section of Matthew's Gospel. We mustn't be like the unwise virgins who are not ready for Jesus' return. We must be working for Jesus in anticipation of his return in the parable of the bags of gold. And now today, two things to note about the return of Jesus. They're on the backs of the notice sheets on your tables. Two things to note. There will be a separation and there will be an inheritance. Firstly, then, there will be a separation. Separation is of the nature of God. He separates the light from the darkness. Jesus is showing that he is God by separating. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. The Son of Man is a phrase from Daniel 7 in the Old Testament. Daniel sees one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approaches God the Father, the Ancient of Days. And the Son of Man is given all authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His kingdom is everlasting. So the Son of Man is God the Son. The Son of Man is Jesus. Jesus is God's King come to reign. And as such, God's King judges the people. He sits on a glorious throne. Verse 32, all the nations are gathered before him, and he separates one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33, puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There will be a separation. You may know the story of Ernest Digweed. He was a religious recluse. He died in 1976. In his will, he stated that if the return of Jesus happened within 80 years of his death, Jesus should receive the full amount of his legacy, £50,000, which is a lot of money in 1976. You can imagine what happened. Hundreds of people claimed to be Jesus. But it won't be possible to impersonate him on that day. He will come in glory. He will sit on a glorious throne. He will separate the people one from another. And so, we must be ready. Jesus will sit on his throne and judge us. And he will separate us. Are we his sheep? The sheep are those who belong to him. He's our shepherd. If we are his sheep, we go to heaven. If we are goats, if we do not belong to him, we go to hell. There will be a separation. But secondly, there will be an inheritance. Notice, an inheritance is not something you can earn. You get an inheritance purely based on who your parent is or who your benefactor is. To receive this inheritance, we need to become one of God's children by trusting in what Jesus has done for us, by making him king, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. This inheritance will be wonderful. Lord Boothby, have you heard of him? He was a Conservative MP and government minister. Lord Boothby led a very sinful life. I can only describe it in that way. He had multiple affairs. including with Prime Minister Harold Macmillan's wife. He fathered children by various married women. He was openly bisexual. He had notorious parties. And Boothby said, "The thought of an eternal Boothby twanging on an eternal harp holds for me little attraction." He was saying he'd rather go to hell. Hell would be more fun. He could carry on his sinful lifestyle in hell. Very foolish. I said 2 weeks ago, the best parties are with Jesus. Everything is better with Jesus. It's not a boring life being a Christian. It's fantastic. And we want to hear King Jesus say, verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Jesus offers this. Heaven is a gift. Jesus pays for heaven when he dies for us on the cross. Jesus takes our hell on himself on the cross so that we may have his heaven. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Jesus continues, verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Jesus is saying that as we wait for his return, we are to be serving him. And part of serving him is meeting the needs of his brothers and sisters, his family, the church. Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So if we belong to Jesus, if we know we're going to heaven, we will serve him. There are lots of ways to serve him. We serve in the church, in the children's work or youth work or elderly work. Here, we might serve him by meeting the practical needs of Jesus' brothers and sisters. Who are Jesus' brothers and sisters? Well, he tells us in Matthew 12, verses 46 to 49. "While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside, waiting to speak to you.' He replied to them," now listen to this bit, "'Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?' Pointing to his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" So Jesus is not saying that we earn heaven by giving to the poor in general. We should give to the poor in general. That's a good thing to do. But Jesus is saying here, caring for his family, who are fellow Christians, our love for Jesus' people shows that we love him. So this is why we support Compassion. Compassion is a Christian charity which looks after children and teaches the gospel. This is why we dedicated the service last Sunday to Release, a charity which supports the persecuted church. And so the challenge of this passage is, are you and I supporting Jesus' family? Are we being there for them? Now, it's true that a lot of support is given within the church when people are ill, when people have babies, etc. There's wonderful support. This just needs to be built upon. We don't earn heaven by doing good works. That's important to say, isn't it? We don't earn heaven by doing good works. But because we are going to heaven, we do good works. I'm trying to be very clear about this. Many people think we get to heaven by doing good works. And they use this passage to justify their argument. But the Bible is very clear. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. That's very clear, isn't it? We're saved from hell for heaven through faith, through trusting in Jesus. Even this faith is a gift from God. We're not saved by works. No one can boast of their good works. There was a famous bishop in the 19th century called J.C. Ryle. His books are still very much read. He was a student at my old college, Christ Church, Oxford. And across the road from Christ Church is an evangelical Anglican church called St. Aldate's. And just up the lane is another good church called St. Ebb's. Becca and I went to St. Ebb's. One Sunday morning, J.C. Ryle decided he'd like to go to church. Later, he couldn't remember whether he'd gone to Ebb's or Aldate's, which is quite nice. He walked into the church late. And as he walked in, he heard someone saying with a loud voice the verse I've just read, Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. J.C. Ryle became a Christian. He'd been a man who was trying to earn God's reward by his own effort. He went to a posh school, Eton. He went to a posh university. He was a squire. He tried to be nice to the people living on his estate. J.C. Ryle realized God was saying no. The only way to be right with God was by grace. Grace means God's undeserved love and blessing. So we shouldn't use this passage of the Bible to argue that we get to heaven, we earn heaven by good works. It's, after all, an inheritance in this chapter. But having been saved by grace, we will want to do good to all God's people, to Jesus' brothers and sisters. The 16th century reformer, Christian leader, Martin Luther said, faith is a living, restless thing. It cannot be inoperative. we're not saved by works. But if there be no work, there must be something amiss with faith. When you're saved by faith in Jesus, you want to serve him. You want to please him. And one of the ways we do this is by caring for his family. However, back in Matthew 25, verse 41, then he, that's King Jesus, will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, when hell is described as fire, we shouldn't take that too literally. In the previous section, verse 30, hell is described as darkness. In verse 10, hell is described as being shut out. Hell is punishment for sin. You don't want it. It is separation from God's love. It is exposure to God's wrath, God's righteous anger. You must avoid hell. Don't think like Lord Boothby that it's more fun in hell. It's not. Described here as the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why are they in hell? Well, they didn't love Jesus. And they didn't show that love for Jesus by serving his family. Verse 42. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or ill, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Can I ask you, do you know you've been saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? If so, are you serving Jesus' family? Do you love him? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to please him? Do I? Not just in practical or financial ways, but certainly in practical and financial ways. Do you want, do we want to live for him? Jesus is coming back. And when he does so, he wants to find us serving him. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to think about how has God spoken to you tonight? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus is coming back to deal with evil once and for all, to end suffering once and for all. And Father, we realize we must be ready. So please come to each one of us by your Spirit and enable us to trust in Jesus, to commit ourselves to Jesus, to make Jesus our King, so that we may be ready for his return. And Lord, as those who've been saved, help us now to serve him. Help us to serve his family, his brothers and sisters. Father, would Jesus find us busy serving him when he comes? And all because we love you. We're so grateful to you. We're so thankful for Jesus. We want to please him. So help us, we pray, in his name. Amen.